Is anybody here this morning expecting God to do anything at all today? Anybody? Okay. Well, he's already shown up, already made a difference. And we expect him to continue a good thing he started already. And the climax of our service today will be the prayer team offering themselves in prayer for you. And especially, I think today's a good day to receive what you need. I mean, the waters are troubled up here. And if you have any need, and especially, I feel like saying this, if you need a healing for your body, then at the end of our service, when your faith is at an all-time high, then come and receive a prayer of agreement for healing for your body or any need in any area that you may have. I'm excited to be at Abundant Life today. Thank you for being here. And if you don't have a December bulletin, raise your hands. The ushers will bring one to you. Keep your hands raised until the ushers put a bulletin in your hand. The front cover, celebrating Merry Christmas, and I'm like a child for me. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And I'll just mention a couple of things that are going on in the next week or two. Next Sunday is Christmas Sunday. We are celebrating Christmas Sunday a week early, December 17th at 10 o'clock right here. Special Christmas carols, special performance by our children's church. They're always a delight on Christmas Sunday. And the Christmas message this year brought by Pastor Steve Osborne. So next Sunday, be here at 10 o'clock and celebrate Christmas Sunday at Abundant Life. And then next Sunday evening at 5:30, our annual adult Christmas banquet. It is a ticketed event. All the tickets are sold. It happens every year. But those of you who do have tickets, remember to be here hungry for a great catered buffet meal and then some jazz entertainment for the holidays after our dinner next Sunday evening. 2 weeks from today is Christmas Eve. Can you believe it? Christmas Eve, 2 weeks from today. And Christmas Eve comes on a Sunday this year, December 24th, and we're having a Christmas Eve communion service on that Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. It'll be a brief service. The highlight will be Holy Communion together. Special music on that day, of course. And we hope you will celebrate Christmas Eve, the Sunday morning, here at Abundant Life with us. And other things in the bulletin, looking through even into the new year, I will just mention as the ushers come that we have no Wednesday evening services the entire month of December. So no Wednesday night services all month long. However, that changes radically in January, beginning on January the 3rd and every Wednesday night in January, Wednesday Night Live happening again here at Abundant Life. Something for everybody, babies, children, teenagers, our youth, and our adults, Wednesday evenings at 6:30 in January. Father, thank you for blessing your people the way you have. Anybody in the world can take one look at the people of God and know immediately at first sight that you're a good God to your children. And because you have blessed us so, we honor you now with an offering of thanksgiving and praise. We bring tithe and our offerings into the house of God that there would be enough resources in the church to do everything you would ask us to do throughout the nations of the world. We pray for every family, every individual related to Abundant Life Church. May every need that we have be met supernaturally. In Jesus' name, amen. You may remain seated as the ushers serve you.
Every year at this time, we jump into the middle of a story that's been told for hundreds of years. It's a story of cities decorating their streets and their sidewalks. It's a story of trees and ornaments and fireplaces, of gifts and wrapping paper and ribbons. There's expectation and wonder and hope, a deep hope that drives us back to the beginning of the story. because it all starts here. It starts in a manger with a baby and an angel and a scared teenaged girl in love with a misunderstood young man who thinks she's worth it. It's about a child who will bring light into darkness, joy into despair, revealing a God who will redeem it all. A God who is leaving the glory of heaven to pursue the glory of a cross. A God who is becoming flesh and blood and skin. A God who is loving and offering all people a pathway back into the relationship for which they were created. It's too rich to comprehend and too beautiful to dismiss. This is Christmas. This is the story of stories. And it all starts here.
If you have your Bibles, lift them up and say with me, it all starts here. Today, I try to conclude a year-long series on the blessing of the Lord that the Word calls a thousand times more. I didn't know it would take a year. In fact, I could keep going, but I'm just going to intentionally try to wrap it up today. I started out last January with the revelation found in the book of Deuteronomy, where at the end of 40 years of wandering through the wilderness, God got his people together and said a few things to his people. He said, these 40 years haven't been all that bad. You've been in a wilderness, but you've never lacked a thing. And even while you're wandering, and even before you step into your destiny, God is good to you every day of your life, even in a wilderness. God said to his people, after 40 years of wilderness wandering, I have defeated all your enemies for you. You've never gotten hungry that I didn't feed you. You've never gotten thirsty that I didn't give you water. I've kept you healthy. I have been leading you. On cold days, I've kept you warm. On hot days in the desert, I've kept you cool. It hasn't been bad at all. But then God said in Deuteronomy 1:11, even though you're as blessed as you are right here, right now, already blessed, God said, may the God of your fathers bless you a thousand times more, just as he promised. So I discovered that revelation last January, almost a year ago, and almost every Sunday this entire year, we've pressed a little deeper into the revelation of what it looks like to be a child of God who is blessed with a thousand times more. That's scriptural, and it's old covenant. In the new covenant, the one we enjoy, it's even better than anything the old had to offer. And during this year, we've looked at some of the many ways God has of blessing his people. We've looked at how important our faith is in receiving the blessing that is a thousand times more. How important our confession is. The importance of our obedience to God's instruction. The favor of the Lord making such a difference. We talked about the blessing of God being better than a miracle. Many people live their entire lifetime from miracle to miracle, have to have a miracle every month. And while God is a miracle worker, and he's blessed us all with miracles, if you live from miracle to miracle, what you're doing is living from one crisis to another crisis. But there is a level of blessing called a thousand times more that when we are blessed at that level in God, we don't need a miracle for every crisis. The blessing of God is better than a miracle. We talked about generational blessings being one way God blesses his people. We talked about open windows, how important the tithe is, God said, you're cursed if you don't, you're blessed if you do. Bring tithe into the storehouse. We talked about opportunities and opposition coming at the same time. Paul said, there's a great opportunity for me, but I'm being opposed right now. So God will even use seasons of opposition to bring opportunities to bless his people. We talked about a due season. If you have not received the full blessing of the Lord on your life yet, and none of us really have in its fullness, there is a due season that comes to us when that blessing will find its way to our life if we simply don't quit before the season gets here. We've talked about God commanding provision to meet every need we have. We've even talked this past year that God wants to bless his people so much, he even has a plan to use our enemies to bless us. When God wanted to promote David, he didn't send him a best friend. He sent him a giant of an enemy. If it had not been for that giant, nobody would have ever heard of little David, the shepherd boy. And today, we bring closure to this year-long series. Today, I want to talk to you about the promise and the possession. Now, we've heard about the promise. Today is the day we begin possessing it. For 40 years, they were, for most of that time, able to look across the border and see the land God had promised them. God had promised them a land. They had sent spies into the land. The spies came back and said, oh my, you should see the size of the grapes over there. There are homes in the land God promised us that's already built, and we can move right in. They're furnished and decorated. We don't have to build a house. They're already built for us. There are wells over there already dug. The water is so pure and fresh. We don't have to dig a well. We can just walk right in and start drinking this pure, fresh water from wells that are already dug for us. That's the promised land right there. And they had heard about the promise then. They were actually able to see the promise. It's one thing to hear it and to see it even at a distance. It's another thing altogether to take possession of the promise. Now, all year long, we've heard about the promise of God to bless his people with 1,000 times more. Are we ready to take possession of the promise this morning? In Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 31, God said to his people, then, and he's saying it to his people now. God said, I have begun to give the land to you. Begin to possess it. God said, I have begun to give it to you. Now you begin to possess it. The promise of God is a given. The possession of the promise is a battle. We have to engage in warfare in order to take possession. It's one thing to be given a promise. It's another thing to take possession of it. I remember 20 plus years ago, Laverne Tripp, my lifelong friend and one of my spiritual fathers and mentors, was here in South Carolina, and he said, out of nowhere, it seemed to me out of nowhere, Carl, the Lord just spoke to me and told me to give you my Lincoln Continental. And I said, well, Laverne, if I was you, I'd obey God. You don't want to disobey the Lord on that. Then, if you knew Laverne back in that day, he would drive a solid black Lincoln Continental. And it was always a nice one, a sunroof and everything. So I got excited about it. I said, well, Laverne, thank you very much. I'll give my Chrysler away, which I did. He said, however, it's in California. You've got to go get it and drive it back. Well, I thought, The promise is never a problem. Taking possession of the promise sometimes requires a little effort, but it's worth it. So Brenda and I went out and drove that Lincoln Continental back from California to South Carolina. And taking possession of a property sometimes requires effort and warfare. When you go to buy a property, regardless of who the seller is, today you sit down in a lawyer's office and close the deal legally, and you have to adhere to the terms of possession. And I want to give you four terms of possession, because we've heard about the promise all year long. We have built our faith all year long to where we are today. We know the promise so very well. We're sure that the promise is certain. But today is the day God says, I have begun giving you. Now it's time for you to begin possessing. And there are four terms of possession. You will receive the promise of God. You will take possession of the promise in one of these four ways. The terms of possession. Number one, we receive the promise of God by lot as an inheritance. You'll find that in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 6. God spoke to Joshua, who was the new leader now, and said to Joshua, divide the land and give it to tribes and families and individual. Divide it by lot and give it away as an inheritance. Some of the promises of God come to us and we take possession of it many times simply because we are heirs. It is an inheritance. So much of what I have received from God has come to me that way. And that's your story too. You know you didn't do anything to earn it. You know you don't deserve it. You can probably look around this room and probably on the same row where you're sitting. You don't have to look far and have the thought, he deserves it better than I do. She deserves it a lot more than me. But yet God has blessed me. It's like an inheritance. So much of the promises of God are for us to inherit. It's just a gift. It's just our lot in life. God said to Joshua, divide it by lot. The word divide by lot in the Hebrew means to allocate, to allot, to assign. God has blessings for me with my name on it. I could never be good enough to receive it. He doesn't wait for me to earn it or to deserve it. He just says, I'm assigning this blessing to you. It's like an inheritance. You don't have to do a thing. Just be my child and it's yours. It's allotted to you. Some of the blessing of God that you have received and that I have received has come to us simply because we are in the bloodline. We're in the bloodline. So some of God's blessing is going to fall on us simply because of that. We're his child and he likes to bless us. I have two children. I love to bless them. Well, I just go through Starbucks sometimes just to bless them. I don't even go for me anymore. It's been a year since I've drunk a Starbucks coffee. And I know with me publicly saying this on the podcast, their stocks are going to dive right now. Oh, Carl's not buying Starbucks for himself, but I'll still go buy. And if the line's not too long, I'll drive through just to bless my children with a cup of Starbucks. And my wife. I just like to bless my children and my wife. And God is that way. And if we get joy out of blessing our children, how much greater joy does he take in blessing his children? It's just our lot in life to be blessed by God. It's our lot in life to have our needs met. It's just an assignment on our life, the blessing of the Lord that's going to chase us down and overtake us simply because of whose we are. when Jesus fed the multitude, and it took a miracle to do it. Everybody in the crowd was fed. Everybody in the crowd was fed. Sometimes we just get under the general, generic blessing of the goodness of God. We don't need to minimize that. Every blessing starts right there. It's just the generic blessing of the Lord because we're His child. And He takes pleasure in blessing His children. Look closely at your lot in life, and you'll be able to see the goodness of God. David expected God to be good to him. David was the one who said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me." Well, I'm expecting God to be that good to me. And so far, He's not disappointed me. I have no complaints to file. Oh, it's not a perfect world. Sometimes I get frustrated and want to cuss. I said I want to. You heard what? Oh, okay. Not a perfect world, but God's a great Father. And His goodness and mercy follow His children around. It's like a blessing nipping at your heel, and before long it will overtake you. We're more blessed than we realize. The first way God blesses His people and they take possession of the promise is simply by lot as an inheritance. The second way God will bless you is a possession based on the capacity of the recipient. How much of the promise can you handle? Can you handle taking possession of the full promise of God? There was a time when I couldn't handle as much as I can handle now. And there will be a time in the future when I can handle even more then than I'm able to handle now. God's not going to waste many blessings. So He looks at our capacity to handle it, and then He blesses us according to our ability to handle it. Even when it comes to hearing the Word of God in Mark 4:33, the Bible says Jesus spoke His word to them as they were able to hear it. So if you are hearing the word of the Lord right now, God knows about you. You're able to hear this. He said, "If any man has an ear, let him hear." And I have two. I'm doubly capable. You are doubly capable of hearing the word of the Lord when He speaks it. David said, God knows our frame. He knows our frailties. He knows where our breaking point is. And He will never put more on us than He knows we can handle. And the same is true about possession of the blessings of God. How much of the promise can you handle possessing? In the New Testament, Jesus gives the parable of the talents. And in that parable, He gave to each person, each character in that parable, according to his ability to manage. And you know that parable very well. Some did not manage the possession, the blessing that God had given them. And so it does require responsibility on our part to take possession of the promise. The wilderness was not all bad. For 40 years, our ancestors wandered around in the wilderness, but it wasn't all that bad because one thing that happened in the wilderness was they increased their capacity to receive. They had, after 40 years, gotten to the point to where they could believe God keeps His word. God meets our needs. God leads us. God is even in the wilderness. Did you see what God just did? Well, we're thirsty. We're dying of starvation here. And a rock gives pure water. Well, we're hungry again. Our belly's growling. And the sky yields manna. Well, here comes another enemy. And they're outnumbering us. And they've got the latest weapons. We've got nothing. And whew, God single-handedly defeats every enemy that comes against them. So after 40, you ain't wasted your time in any wilderness. It's not been that bad for you, even right up to here. Now you're getting ready to take possession of 1,000 times more. 1,000 times more favor of God in your life. 1,000 times better quality of life all across the board. God has 1,000 times more. May the God of your fathers bless you 1,000 times more, just as he promised. But all the time you've survived in the wilderness wanderings up to this point, it's not been a waste, because you've gotten to know the faithfulness of God. You've gotten to trust in his word. You've learned how to follow his instructions. That's how you got to this place today, where we step our toe across the border and we step into possessing. God said, I have begun giving, and it's time for you to begin possessing. That's what today is all about. Everything you've been through in the wilderness, it all happened for a reason. Every test you faced, every temporary lack you encountered, it wasn't a waste. It all happened for a reason. Look back at your life, the painful parts, the wonderful parts, the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the straight plains, every part of your life. Look back and believe this about it. God was supervising, overseeing it all. He may not have sent everything your way, but before it was over, he got so involved in everything that has been sent your way that he's worked it around and turned it into something good for you. It all happened for a reason. I remember on a Sunday afternoon a few years ago, I've shared this with you. It was about 5 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. I was at the house and my phone rang, and the caller ID identified this man as a good friend of mine, Bishop Frank Harvey. In fact, he will be here on Sunday morning, January the 14th. And Frank called me, and he doesn't waste his time when he calls. It's God, and he has something to say. And he said, Carl, I'm ministering today in Wisconsin, I think he said. But I've had you on my mind the last couple of days, and I just couldn't put this call off. He said, I had to call you today just to tell you I'm not aware of anything going on in your life there, in your family, in the church. I don't know any details about anything, but I felt like God wanted to call me to call you and tell you that don't look at any circumstance and think it may be the devil or it could be a bad person. God wanted me to tell you God is in it all. That word came to me at a good time. Theologically, I know God doesn't send everything that comes my way, but I do know that God is so big and he's so good and he loves me so much that if I trust him with everything that comes my way, he will turn it all around to work out for my good. And so in that context, looking at it through that filter, God is in it all, and everything that's happened while you were wandering around in the wilderness happened for a reason, to prepare you and to increase your capacity to receive the blessing of the Lord that is 1,000 times more. The first way we receive the promise is by lot as an inheritance. The second way is possession based on the capacity of the recipient, and we're well able. The third way, this is simple. Possession by request. Yeah, who would have thought? Well, how can I receive the blessing of the Lord? Well, one way is simply ask for it. It's yours for the asking many times. Jesus said, there's a reason you have not. There's a reason you've heard the promise for 40 years and you're still wandering. You've never really stopped and asked. You have not because you ask not. Some of the blessing of God we take possession of simply by requesting it. It's about prayer. Jesus said, up until now and even right this very minute, you have asked for nothing in my name. But he said, ask and you will receive. Hey, you can find it all throughout Scripture and in real life, in my life, in yours. This principle is true. Hannah in the Old Testament was a lady who was denied the great desire of her life. She wanted to have a child, and she was barren and could not conceive. So she took possession of the desire that was in her heart by simply requesting of the Lord. She went to God and said, oh, please give me a son, and if you do, I will give him right back to you. Hannah was barren, yet was given a son simply because she asked. Elisha received a double anointing of a prophet's reward simply because he asked for it. Elijah, his spiritual father, said, what do you want? What do you want from me? He said, oh, I want a double portion of what you got. And Elisha received a double anointing simply because he asked for it. Jesus had an encounter with the woman at the well. And he said this to her, if you knew who you are talking to, you would ask me and I would give to you. Sometimes when we go to prayer, we need to know who we're talking to. Someone who can do the impossible. Someone who can meet every single need. Not only can, but wants to. And wants to be trusted. And wants to be asked. It's a request. Many times, the Bible says in the New Testament, in the four Gospels, that Jesus marveled at the unbelief. He would go into a certain city, and even though he was the Son of God and could do miracles, there were some cities he couldn't even heal a headache because of the unbelief in that town. In the home, in the life of an individual, sometimes God, in the form of his son Jesus, was hindered and couldn't do any great miracle at all because of unbelief. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. And the word unbelief there in the Greek, this is powerful. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. Means three things. Number one, they were not convinced. Jesus will speak a promise to you. He will speak his word to you. And then if you're not convinced, he marvels at how you cannot be convinced. They were not convinced. Secondly, they did not agree with what Jesus said. And thirdly, the word unbelief means they didn't even try. Jesus marveled at their unbelief. He marveled that they were not convinced of his promise, that they did not agree with his word, and they didn't even try to take possession of the promise. Unbelief. Hey, when we go before the Lord in prayer, believing to possess the promise of his word, let's be convinced, let's agree with him, and let's give it our best shot. Let's not be guilty of being unconvinced and not agreeing with him to the point that we don't even try to receive. Mark 11, 24, one of the famous verses of Scripture in camps like ours. We're a faith people. Hello, we're a faith people. We're not a people of doubt and unbelief. We're a people of faith. Mark 11, 24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them. Now, you don't wait to believe you receive after it's in your hand. You believe you receive them when you pray. Now, that's the power of request. There it is right there in Scripture. Jesus said it. The words are written in red. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. I like to say it this way because I'm a faith man. When faith goes to market, it always takes a basket. You like it? Who liked it? Liked it. I got a like on the second row. Like and share. Hey, what's the size of your basket? Some of you need to get a bigger basket. I'm in search of a bigger basket right now. Ushers, next Sunday, don't pass those bags around. Bring a wheelbarrow. When faith goes to market, it always takes a basket because it's expecting. Don't ask for anything if you don't expect it. It's a waste of your breath, a waste of time and energy. No need to go before the Lord and waste your time if you're not expecting. That was a word that came forth in our praise service today. Expect God. How many are expecting God to do something? Hey, when you go to prayer, have a basket. Get ready to leave that place of prayer in possession of the promise you're requesting God to keep. So we have three so far, three terms of possession. Number one, by lot, just like an inheritance. Number two, possession based on the capacity of the recipient. Can you handle it? And thirdly, possession simply by request. And then fourthly and finally, possession by conquest. Deuteronomy chapter 2, 24, God said, I am giving you the land. Engage in battle. They looked over. 40 years of wandering around, they were able to see the huge grapes hanging from the grapevines, the well giving fresh water, the houses that were beautiful. They didn't even have to build them. They were ready to move. But, you got to conquer some giants to get in there. So some of the promises of God we possess no other way but by rolling up our sleeves and going to war. We possess it by conquest. Are you willing to fight for the promise? Caleb was one of the 12 spies that was sent in to spy out the land. And he came back and he was so excited. He said, oh, it's a great place. The promise of God is great. It's better than anything we've ever seen. It's 1,000 times more over there than we've ever had back here. Back here ain't been bad. Back here's been pretty good. We've never really lacked anything up to this point. But over there, it's 1,000 times better. He was 85 years old when he went into the land, and he saw a mountain crawling with giants. And he said, I'll take that mountain. Give me that one. I'll conquer those giants on that one right there. 85. That speaks to somebody here. Gene Keys, maybe. He's still taking mountains. And he's our oldest church member, I believe, right now. And he's not in any hurry to change that statistic. He tells me that frequently. Caleb said, give me this mountain. I'll take on these giants. There's a song Merle Haggard used to sing. Now, I went to see Merle in concert. Well, I'll say it like this. I bought a ticket to go see Merle in concert, and he died before the concert. It was sad. Willie was there. I think I saw some of y'all there. I saw some of y'all there. But I missed Merle. But he sang a song, Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. And he said, when you're running down your countryman, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Have you discovered your fighting side? I mean, the promise of God is worth a fight. Yes, it is. Receiving and taking possession of what God has for us at the level that's 1,000 times more than what we have ever known up to this point. It's worth a fight. Has it struck a nerve? Has it stirred up a passion for you to get up one morning and say, where are you, devil? I'm going to fight for it if I have to have it. I'm going to receive and take possession of the promise. God has begun giving it, and his instruction to me is for me to begin possessing it. And that's what today is all about. Now, God decides what we can have, but we determine what we will possess by our willingness to fight for it sometimes. I remember, and you may remember, Roy Hardern. He was here, right here on this platform 15 years ago, sharing this testimony. He had been given up to die. He was in a hospital in Florida in intensive care. He was on a respirator. The doctor had told Pauline, his wife, that he would not make it to sunrise. His blood pressure was something like 50 over 20, and machines were doing that. And the doctor said to Pauline, his wife, say what you need to your family. I mean, we're walking out, can do nothing more. Pauline was here. And her testimony is this. When the doctor told her that, she walked out of the intensive care unit down into a chapel by herself, Pauline Hardern, walked into the chapel, fell on her face, and said, God, we have a fight on our hands. But God, I want you to know, our fight is not with you. And she went to war for her husband, Roy. This is not always the case. We live in a flawed world, scarred by sin, nature. But in that instance, God healed Roy. I mean, quickly, totally, and completely, the doctors released him, and he traveled around the country for another dozen years, came here and shared his healing testimony of how God had healed him and brought him back from the brink of death. But I'll never forget Pauline's word. God, we have a fight on our hands, but our fight is not with you. You need to know who your fight is with. Don't to blame God. He's all for you. We have an enemy, and his name is not God. Our battle is never with him. Sometimes we take possession of the promise simply by fighting for it. It's possession by conquest. David said, he teaches my hands to make war. One translation says, he customizes my battle and instructs me skillfully. Sometimes we take possession of what God has for us. It's 1,000 times more than we've ever had, but we have to go to war, and we have to take it by conquest. Stand with me.